T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-1. And there's a shot hammered to right field. Back goes Kepler to the wall, reaches up, and this ball is gone into the bullpen. Blackman ties it with a blast. Kepler's down. He ran into the ball. Bullet by Rafi Devers ties it at 3. Can you believe it? He hit a seam.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Twins.
Lyles pitched to Betts. Swung on. We're going home. 4-3. Mookie Betts with a walk-off winner. How do you like that? Another Mookie moment at Fenway Park.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with John Ryder on WEEI.
So that's now at least a dozen. Has to be at least a dozen dramatic victories for the Red Sox this season. Notable victories, signature wins. Yeah, the Twins are going nowhere, but still, in terms of this lousy, let's face it, American League, top-heavy American League, with the exception of the Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, and Indians. You got Mariners are okay, but overall, but still, hey, this, you got to give the Red Sox credit. They continue to fight, they continue to claw and scratch, and they do it again tonight as they walk off with a victory over the Twins, 4-3. Mookie Betts supplying the dramatics tonight, while Rafael Devers as well in the 4-3 victory over the Twins. You know, I had a feeling that the Red Sox were going to be able to tie the game off Fernando Rodney. And that's a guy, too, has been mentioned, linked to the Red Sox as a possible bullpen piece, the 41-year-old journeyman closer for the Twins. I don't want any part of that. That's a 6th blown save of the season. I'm sure the Twins will send him somewhere, but I don't want to see him here with Boston. I'd like to see someone else. And, you know, again tonight, you know, it was a great win and plenty to applaud tonight. Mookie Betts, Rafael Devers with the game-tying homer in the 9th. Another outstanding outing from Chris Sale. Even kind of a little hidden note in there, the scoreless 10th as Tyler Thornburg retired the side in the top of the 10th with a strikeout. He ends up getting the win. But, you know, again, you had that 8th inning situation, and Red Sox really don't have an answer right now in the 8th inning. Kind of a guessing game right now, so that's, I'm sure, with the Red Sox are eyeing. I'm not sure that's out there. But as for tonight, I mean, just another thriller at Fenway tonight. 3rd walk-off win for the Red Sox this season. So they're 3-2 in walk-offs this season. So that's their 29th come-from-behind win. So out of their 72 wins, Major League best, 72-33, 29 come-from-behind, even though they had the lead in this one, gave it back. But then Red Sox answer off Rodney. Kind of had a feeling after the Red Sox tied it, they were going to be able to win this game, especially at Fenway, and getting into that Twins bullpen. I guess the question would be the Red Sox bullpen the remainder of the way, but didn't need it because Betts on an 0-1 pitch. I don't know if that was a high fastball or a slider that was left up there from Belisle, but Betts got all of it and drilled it out beyond the monster seats in left field. No doubter as he crushed that. Good to see Jackie Bradley going the opposite way for his 8th home run of the season. Rafael Devers, who scuffled a little bit with the bat, hitting his 15th home run of the season, as that was just a howitzer off of Rodney as he pulled it out to the bullpen out in right field. So, solid win for the Red Sox tonight. I guess, you know, expect them to at least split a series with the Twins, if not take 3 out of 4. You really, I guess, would expect 3 out of 4. It's going to be interesting on Sunday when Nathan Eovaldi makes his Red Sox debut on the mound against the Twins. So he gets his first start on Sunday. Then it's David Price on Monday, and I believe it's Brian Johnson on Tuesday. Tomorrow night it's Rick Porcello. John Ryder with you. Red Sox Review. Take you up until midnight, 617-779-7937. You can text us as well, 37937. Also, another rainout for the Yankees tonight. That's their 9th game postponed this season. They were rained out, so they've got a grueler tomorrow. Even though they're playing the lowly Royals, they've got a day-nighter tomorrow. 12:05 for the first game, 6:05 for the second game tomorrow. And this has been, you know, the Red Sox haven't had a huge offensive stretch of late. Well, especially over the past couple of games, they get stymied by Kyle Gibson last night, and they end up scoring four tonight. But you'd have to think, this has been a long week for the Red Sox. Not to make, you know, everyone's going to say, well, these guys are making tons of money. And they are, but it's just been, this bit week has been a grind. I mean, that Baltimore series, even Alex Cora talked about it. You had the 2.5-hour rain delay, so they, and then the postponement in Baltimore, which will be made up in August. So they get home late. They face the Twins, you know, right out of the gate. You had the three-game series in Detroit, but you had the rain delay that made no sense back last Sunday. You had a rain delay in the first game of the Baltimore series, a couple of rain delays in the second one, and then the lengthiest, the 2.5-hour on Wednesday, is that one ends up getting postponed. So I was thinking these guys with the travel and everything right out of the All-Star break. And typically, too, if you know, if you know, you have a job or whatever the case may be, sometimes when you have a vacation or time off, when you come back, you feel like, wow, getting right back into it here, you know, right out of the chute. And sometimes it can be a little bit logy or lethargic. All right, let's get to a phone call here. And room for you on the lines if you're heading back from Fenway Park, wherever you might be, after this dramatic win for the Red Sox, 4-3 over the Twins. You can give us a call on the Red Sox, anything Major League Baseball, up until midnight, 617-779-7937. Text board's up and running, 37937. Let's get to the calls. And here's Chris. He's in a limo. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John. Good to talk to you tonight.
You as well?
I listen to the games. I'm in the car all the time, and I'll tell you that call by Tim tonight was one of the best I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, that was a good call. We're going home.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You got chills. We're going home.
Yeah, that was a no-doubter, and I'm sure, you know, with the Red Sox kind of a bit tired now and having a win like that and coming back after giving it up in the ninth and then taking it right back was big. Now, you must be driving a limo, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't know if you were a passenger or the driver. All right.
Yeah, no, I'm the driver. I get to take around people and go in and out of Logan and all sorts of fun stuff.
Must be interesting, someone.
Yeah. I'm going to write a book someday. There's not
I'm sure
much
you have some stories
back there.
I'm sure. Some probably not made for radio. Well, maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, well, maybe. And actually, years ago, when Mikey Adams locked himself in the studio, I got on the air and I was on the road and I was offering to swing by in my limo and pick him up
all
and
right.
get him out of there.
Yeah, Mikey's a great guy.
Yeah, so, but it's good to hear you on the air tonight. Last night with the rain delays and stuff, I agree with you guys. It's like Major League Baseball just makes a, such a mess out of it. I mean, I'm listening in the car, so I'm stuck, you know, but I mean, to make people sit in the stands and wait for that game to start, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a lot of blame to be put on Baltimore, a lot of blame to be put on Major League Baseball on that. That seemed to be a cash grab for the Orioles, let people sit around and, you know, spend money on food and hang out and then all of a sudden call the game. I mean, with the sparse crowd that was there, they're getting sparse crowds anyway. Go ahead.
I sit outside of Fenway a lot, and the Red Sox will do it too, you know. And my poor customers, they sit in there and get wet and spend money, and then they have to go home.
Yeah, no, a lot of – I mean, it's an issue that Major League Baseball has to address. I wonder in the future, and if, say, in the next 20 years, I mean, it might be unimaginable, but that every ballpark has a retractable roof. If every single one does. I mean, it's hard to imagine here in Boston. It's hard to imagine at Camden Yards because I haven't been there, but from all accounts, it's an unbelievable ballpark. I'm not sure it happens, but certainly you have the technology in order to do it nowadays and the resources and the ability to do it. I mean, I know that the players would like that and staff and fans for the most part, I would think. I mean, you make it nowadays where it doesn't feel like it's a, you know, a dome stadium or, you know, I mean, some of the designs and the retractable roofs nowadays are incredible. Not to sound like the old Ted Sarandis, but I mean.
You were talking the other night. That's what I was going to say. I heard somebody saying it. It must have been you.
It was me. Yeah. No, I was during one of the rain delays in Baltimore earlier this week.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. You're not Ted Sarandis. I'm old enough to remember him, but yeah.
He was always screaming for a dome. Yeah. No, and I love Fenway. I mean, it's beautiful, but and I don't know, but I'm just saying, you know, years and years from now, it wouldn't be a surprise. I mean, the players would know exactly when they're playing, and this year, and thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate the phone call and you listening as well. But, I mean, look at the Yankees and all the weather issues, not just with the Yankees, but all the different issues throughout Major League Baseball early in the season in April and May. I mean, the one team actually I'm shocked that doesn't have one is the Twins. And they built a recently new stadium, and it's an outdoor stadium. Here's Mike in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hi, John.
Hey, yeah, Mike.
With regards to, you know, the bullpen, I mean, I'd love to see them get a guy like Diekman off of Texas or somebody like that, you know, a power lefty. But honestly, I think this is just about, you know, finding a couple of guys who are hot going into the postseason and just kind of, you know, giving all these guys a try and just, you know, hopefully some of them catch fire.
Yeah, and I wonder, Mike, if the answer, I mean, the answer might be one of the guys they picked up. If Evaldi isn't part of the rotation and a playoff rotation, if the Red Sox do indeed get into a playoff series, because, you know, if they don't win the AL East, we know it's that one-game playoff. Right now it's looking good, but still plenty of baseball and plenty of games against the Yankees. But you wonder if Evaldi would be that guy in the eighth inning or someone that's part of their rotation.
I mean, last year in the playoffs, the Astros leaned heavily on their regular season starters out of the bullpen. You know, so, I mean, it's just that's not impossible to happen. And I think that might have happened with the Indians to a certain extent, too, a couple of years ago. But another point I'd like to make is Jackie Bradley. You know, Jackie, he went all over the monster, you know, for a home run today. I think that he is making the proper I think his natural swing is the other way. And I think that now he's actually starting to use that. And he's, especially in Fenway, going to left field and going to left center a lot. Or just even stay up the middle. Because he almost he seems to tie himself up quite a bit when he tries to pull the ball, especially if he tries to pull anything that's middle out. And this home run today, he had the home run over, you know, the opposite way in Detroit. I think and he's had a lot of doubles to left center lately. That's what's going to be successful for him. And he doesn't need to be hitting 350. He doesn't need to be Mookie or JD.
Hey,
be respectable.
Yeah, I'll take 250 with his defense that he plays out in center field. I mean, he's on one of those hot stretches right now for the most part. You know, very good month of July for the most part, at least the beginning part of July. So, yeah, it's good. I mean, it's a good sign, especially at the bottom of the order. He had a couple of hits tonight and also has speed and leading way to bets. I mean, so that's what you want to see. You know the defense is going to be there. And I think all the people that text in and the trade talk about Bradley, it's not happening this season.
Yeah, I mean,
if it happens at all.
I'd be holding on to him, particularly because, I mean, just money right now. But it's one of these things with him. He has a good eye at the plate. He doesn't swing at a lot of balls. You know, he's even when he was really, really struggling, he could still draw a walk. And he's very strong. I mean, when he does catch up to the ball, he hits rockets.
Yeah, well, he's top 50. Yeah, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I'm just sorry. It's just a matter of making consistent contact or consistent enough and, you know, driving the ball. And like I was saying before, just be good.
Yeah,
good enough when he has that.
Yeah, and he's top 15 in exit velocity. I'm not a huge exit velocity guy, but and I know you're into that, Mike. You've called before, but you know, still, I mean, there's still, I guess, is something to say with it that he hits the ball hard. So a lot of his home runs, maybe not so much tonight. You know, sometimes they're bombs. I mean, he does hit some rockets when he gets a hold of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some real tape measure, like way over the bullpen home runs.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think when he does that, sometimes it takes him off of his game. I think JD's been working with him from what it seems to me. He's kind of made some subtle adjustments to his stance. He's a little more kind of like more Ken Griffey Jr., like erect when he's up there. And all that stuff makes a difference because he's just, you watched him, he was just always just a little bit off,
Yep. Thanks. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. Sorry, I clicked the wrong button there. All right, take care. All right, John Ryder with your Red Sox review. After the Red Sox take down the Twins 4-3 in walk-off fashion in 10 innings tonight at Fenway. Another thought, you know, we're talking about the Red Sox and the bullpen. Maybe it's just I do think they'll add a reliever. I do, before Tuesday. And if not Tuesday, and I'm guessing they will, they'll do it somehow through waivers. Maybe they do it again then. I mean, Dave Dombrowski is not afraid to make moves, that's for sure. I wonder, you know, I was talking about Eovaldi, and let's see how he pitches in the rotation here down the stretch before I say he might be a bullpen piece, if not needed in the rotation, which is possible. I wonder what the Yankees do in the postseason. I mean, now they've added Jay Happ to that rotation, but I was thinking a guy, you know, Sonny Gray has struggled. That's one of the reasons they added Jay Happ, and not this season, or at least in his last start with Toronto, he's been a Red Sox killer. But I wonder if the Yankees in the postseason shorten up the game at all. I mean, with the bullpen pieces they have. I mean, they could go a Rays route, really, if they wanted to. I mean, they could go, I mean, say they, you know, Sabathia, they're a little bit worried about, they only want him to go three innings. They could do that with that team. I mean, I think they could go Sabathia leading into, I mean, if Chapman's healthy, leading into Britton and Robertson and probably like Green after Sabathia, but some sort of combination all the way to Chapman with the amount of arms they have out in the bullpen. They could do that in the postseason or definitely in a one-game playoff. I mean, there's no question about that with that bullpen. All right, here's Mark in Arlington. Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Hey, Mark.
It was kind of a fun surprise because just want to talk about two things in the game and then the eighth inning problem. You know, Mookie was 0 for 6, and I was listening to the game. And in my mind, I thought, well, this might be time for – because like you, as you had mentioned before, all the rain and all the stuff in Baltimore and only scoring a couple of runs, it just seems to be like that vacation adjustment time. And I was just thinking Monkey's going to have a little mini slump. No big deal. He looks at a first-pitch strike, and then boom, you hear a back – you hear the whack, and then we're going home.
Yeah.
The ball must have left the park in like a nanosecond.
Yeah.
I don't know how
– talk about exit velocity, right? Yeah. I don't know what it was off the bat, but all I know is that was out of there in a hurry.
Yeah, that was a great surprise and a great win. I always think it's bad when your ninth inning reliever comes in on the eighth. It always seems like bad things happen, like the lead is given up.
And you could tell, too, tonight. You could just tell, even in that eighth inning, he didn't have it tonight. Kimbrel, I mean, he's converted, heading in tonight, each of his last 23 chances. 32 for 34 in the season, second in the majors in saves, as I have the stats in front of me. But, you know, you could just tell with the curveball. And he didn't have the command tonight, especially with that curve that he bounced a few times.
Yeah, those were unusual. And just a baseball fan for so long, it always seems when a guy is your closer, is your ninth inning guy, you bring him into the eighth. I don't know if it's mental or timing. They just never seem.
Yeah, a lot of the times, yeah, it's tough. A lot of guys just, there's something about it. They're such creatures of habit. Most pitchers are, well, especially starters and closers, and it's just something about it. I mean, we saw John Farrell in the past hesitant to use Craig Kimbrel for those four-out saves. It was a big sticking point, talking point last season. And I don't have anything against it. I mean, it just shows that they do need someone there to lock down that eighth inning. And there's so many guys that have shown glances of that, of the ability to do that. Joe Kelly earlier in the season when he was on that hot stretch.
And then he kind of he wasn't that Joe Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Barnes at different points, but
yeah,
Heath Hembree at different points. Now it seems like they're, you know, leaning a little bit on Ryan Brazier, who's been effective but wasn't great tonight. So I guess what we're saying is they still don't have an answer for that.
Well, my fear is that I heard these rumors that maybe Jackie Bradley Jr. would be traded for an eighth inning.
I don't think, no, they're not going
to
do that.
I hate to see that.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Prevents runs. He's nine innings, and, you know, I'll go offline, but I what's your take on it? What are the odds of it happening?
I don't think that they make a trade off the major league roster from a player on the major league roster right now. Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't think that happens. I mean, I think that this team can get a reliever for a middling prospect. I mean, one of these guys, or a couple of prospects, depending on the player. Probably not one of these guys from the Marlins or the Padres that are under team control through 2020 or 2021 that they've talked about, but they can get someone, and they probably will, some journeyman reliever. But I don't know if that's the answer of the eighth. So it might be one of those things where they patchwork it the rest of the season, and then they count on one of their starters in the eighth inning. You know, like I mentioned. All right, we're late for the break here, but still a half hour to go in Red Sox review after this thriller. 4-3 in 10 innings. John Ryder with you up until midnight. 617-779-7937. You can text us as well. 37937. I see you up there on the phone lines. I'll get right to them. Two open lines, but we'll get right to your calls. Those lined up there right after this break.
Check swing, strike three. There's strikeout number 10, his 10th K game. Gracia walks off the field on his 100th pitch. He gets strikeout number 10. Swinging a shot left center field. Benintendi back by the wall. Jackie looks up. It's off the wall. One run is scored. Here comes the second run to the plate. Polanco scores the go-ahead run, and the Twins lead it 3-2 on a wall ball double by Eddie Rosario.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
That was a good sign, that 10th inning, 94 with a good breaking ball. That was good to see with Tyler. Ryan, just bad luck today. Barnsey, he threw the ball well. So we got options. It's not like we're panicking and all of a sudden we have to scramble for outs. We have capable guys. It's just a matter of, you know, we need those guys that are struggling right now to need to fix them, because I do feel that they're a huge part of what we're trying to accomplish.
That's Alex Cora addressing the bullpen after tonight's 4-3 Red Sox win over the Twins at Fenway Park on the Mookie Betts walk-off home run, his first career walk-off home run, which was great to see the excitement and joy. He knew that was gone right off the bat. He even told Joe Castiglione, Tim Nevert in the postgame show that it was a bomb to left that hit the top of the back railing of the monster seats. So it was just about out of the park. So the Red Sox take it, but yeah, the bullpen, some good and some bad. I mean, Tyler Thornburg, he mentioned tonight the scoreless top of the 10th, and he's done it in the past with Milwaukee as a guy that's been a key bullpen piece, and that's why they made that Travis Shaw trade. But, you know, out of sight, out of mind for a while with that thoracic injury and the shoulder injury for thoracic outlet syndrome, I guess is what they called it. Craig Kimbrell was not good tonight. Gives up the two runs over an inning and a third, and they went to him in the eighth after Barnes got two outs, but then Kimbrell walked Logan Morris, and he got Joe Mauer, was pinch hitting to fly out, but it was a disaster in the ninth. He didn't have the command, walked a couple of guys, and then Eddie Rosario, the Twins' best hitter, with a wall ball two-run double to give the Twins a 3-2 lead at the time. And Ryan Brazier tonight, yeah, I mean, Max Kepler hits kind of a ground ball double the opposite way, and some defensive issues there, but still gives up the one run over one innings. He's kind of a guy that's come out of nowhere, pitched in the past in Japan, was with the Angels for a little bit, that had Tommy John surgery, but he's been kind of a revelation out of the bullpen. Not a ton of appearances, but just a one ERA. Still not sure if he's going to emerge as the guy. I'm not sure they have the guy. We'll see if they end up adding someone, and I'm sure they will. And will that be the answer? All right, John Ryder, Red Sox Review, with you up until midnight, 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. Here's Wally in Fall River. Hey, Wally.
What's up, Nat Ryder? No, we really pulled this game out of the fire. I mean, we wouldn't be as happy as we are, but Mookie bailed us out. But you look at the Twins, they're a pesky team. Then you get the Phillies coming in. They're having a good season. But I'm curious with the Yankees. They're going to be without Judge for 3 weeks and without Gary Sanchez. So we're catching them at a very vulnerable time with that lineup. It's not as powerful as it was before. So I think there's a good chance we can at least take 3 out of 4. But as far as Dombrowski, you know he's going to get somebody. I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez, he always takes a long time. And still, do you really want to throw him in a bullpen the same way with Pomerantz? You know, he'd be given as a heart attack every time he's out there in a high-leverage situation. But I think Dombrowski definitely has something in mind, and, you know, something will be popping soon.
Yeah, I think that he does. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, there's relievers out there. It's a buyer's market. There's a lot of teams selling right now. Twins have decided to be sellers after winning, after going 13-5 in their last 18. Heading in tonight, winners of four straight, still kind of somewhat in the wild card mix. But they're obviously selling stuff off with the move they made tonight, dealing Escobar. So, Yeah, they'll be able to. I think they'll be able to find a reliever. It's just a question: is that guy going to be the eighth inning guy, or is it just another one of these guys? I mean, that's the question. You're right about the Yankees too. I mean, they've got that 4-game series coming up, starting next Thursday at Fenway. I mean, you'd like a split. I mean, right now they're having Stanton batting second. Well, they were going to have Stanton bat second, where Judge normally bats tonight. And they had Stanton in right field tonight, but they still have enough firepower, that team. I mean, Sanchez for Doggett. All right, thanks for the call, Wally. Can hear you in the background there. But, yeah, I mean, they could be catching the Yankees somewhat at a good time right now. I mean, who knows? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think the Eovaldi move is one of the reasons why they made the trade. I mean, the Yankees and Astros have really hit left-handed pitching good this season, well this season. And they've struggled a little bit more against right-handed starters, which definitely with the Yankees hasn't been the case in the past, but is the case this season. As we continue with the phone calls, here's Justin in New Hampshire. Hey, Justin.
John, what's up, man? It's been a while since I've gotten to talk to you. It's good to hear you back on the airwaves here.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Thanks.
Hate to be a Debbie Downer, but you know, I'm just looking at how this is shaping up, seeing the whole scheme of things. I mean, it's great that Wally is very optimistic about how Dombrowski's going to manage the before the trade deadline. But the fact of the matter is that when you get into October, pitching wins. At this point, pitching is probably the biggest weak spot, absolutely the biggest weak spot. And primarily, I feel like David Price is a giant liability. And I feel like in order for them to win in the postseason and to go all the way, they need to either – I really think they just need to cut their losses. I mean, how is this guy going to show us that he's capable of winning a playoff game? And I don't think the Yankees on the 4-game set next week gives you any indication, because they're without Judge and a couple other players.
Right.
So that's my main concern.
Yeah, and they've made some nice acquisitions. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Jay Happ's a Verlander that puts him over the top. Britton's a big piece and pitched well last night. You know, I still think that mostly the strength of the Red Sox team is their pitching or starting pitching, especially with Chris Sale. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, of course, you've got David Price has to do with the postseason as a starter, not as a reliever. Meaning, well, maybe he is a reliever. Who knows? Maybe he is solid out of the pen for them. Who knows what ends up happening there? But you've got Eduardo Rodriguez still on the mend, and who knows if he's even going to be able to come back this season or what kind of role he's going to play. Porcello seems dependable. But, yeah, I mean, it all goes back to their starting pitching, which I think is their strength during the regular season. The question is the postseason.
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, John, all of the baggage that Price brings. I mean, if Shaughnessy asked him the wrong question the night before a playoff game, who knows what could happen on Twitter or anywhere else.
He should just – I think he's got to take it slow as we with all of that stuff. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I know.
Don't answer questions that's not asked. Don't bring stuff up out of nowhere. You know,
absolutely.
That would be my advice to him.
I like the Eovaldi acquisition, but really all he is a bona fide Joe Kelly. The guy throws 100 miles an hour, and he was striking out on average 4 players per 9 innings in the last 2 years. This year it's up a little bit, but I don't see much with
who knows? But I like the move, considering, I mean, they didn't give up much. And Jalen Beeks, who wasn't even, you know, a top-rated prospect until changing some things pretty much towards the end of last minor league season and this one as well. So I don't have a problem with that. But, yeah, we'll see with Eovaldi. I mean, I don't mind the move, especially needing another right-handed starter. Here's Mike in Connecticut. Hey, Mike.
Hey, John, what's happening?
What's up, Mike?
The big move, John, was to get Britton. That was the key. Not only, you know, they need a left-hand reliever. He's back to norm. He's back to being himself. That was the key man for the Red Sox to get. And obviously, they definitely need a reliever, because there's nobody that you can count on in the eighth inning. And I know you said you wouldn't get rid of Bradley, but the Red Sox window is very, very limited, John. They have no minor league system at all. They got a 2-year window here. So I'm all in for going for it for this year.
Yeah, I don't know if I think that looking at the Yankees package and what they gave up for Britton, who's a free agent after the season, I'm not sure that Baltimore would be as interested in Jackie Bradley and a couple of the Red Sox prospects for Britton as much as they were interested with the Yankees package, even if that was a possibility.
But you know what, though, John? I didn't like Cora taking out Barnes after throwing only 6 pitches. I mean, he has to see that Kimbrel does not like to come into the eighth inning. I don't know if it's a mental thing. He just doesn't want to do it. But he's not the same pitcher when he comes in the eighth inning. There was no reason to take a guy out after throwing six pitches.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the decision-making on that move. Logan Morrison, left-handed batter, the next guy up when he took him out.
189, John.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, a little bit of pop in the bat. I guess he was thinking maybe a game-tying homer is a possibility there. I don't have right in front of me Barnes' numbers against Morrison, but I'm guessing that he was thinking that's what the thinking was there, that he was concerned maybe Morrison takes him deep to tie the game. That's the only way I can think of it.
Well, you know, Morrison, you see the difference when he goes from a bandbox to playing into a, you know, a field that's tough to hit home runs in. And right field is tough to hit home runs at Fenway Park. I don't know. To me, I thought that was over-managing. The guy went through six pitches.
Yeah, no, I understand that, Mike, and thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, obviously it didn't work out, but then it ended up working out in the end. All right, loaded up here on the phone lines. Appreciate all the phone calls. Let's get one more in before the break, and here is Justin and Draken. Hey, Justin. Justin, you with us? We'll put him on hold, and we'll go to John in Palmdale. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, John? Hey, man, it's driving me crazy. I'm sitting here. I'm a Red Sox fan, a former New Englander, lived out here in California, still a Sox fan, listen to you, watch all the time. We have the best record in baseball, and people are, like, walking off the cliff if we blow a save. You know, but about this team is a lot like the 2013 team. They get along, they like each other, and they find ways to win ball games. And tonight was a perfect example. Kimbrel didn't have his best stuff. It's okay, so what? Here comes Devers, here comes Mookie, and we win the game. We have the best record in baseball. I'm just so tired of Red Sox Nation just losing it when we don't score 10 runs a game, man. Look at our record. Look at this team. We have, yes, the bullpen has some issues, but we have the best record in baseball. We're beating the teams we're supposed to beat, and we're in first. So,
well, no. Look, all of those things are accurate, John. But the thing is, and I didn't know where Palmdale is. Now I know where. It's in California. That's a nice name for a town. It makes sense out there. But you probably, and I understand what you're saying, but remember how it is here in New England and in Boston when it comes to the Red Sox. I mean, even if they had three losses on the season, we'd be getting some sort of gripe about something. I mean, that's the California, the beautiful California Palmdale air getting to you. You're not here in the gritty New England anymore, even though it's beautiful out here right now, at least today. But, you know, that's the way it goes. You know that. I mean, no matter. And the other thing is, too, a lot of people look at it, yeah, well, they're beating the Twins. They're beating the Orioles. They're beating the Tigers, whoever. Yeah.
Everybody else is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're doing what they have to do. I mean, that's the difference. You've got the Red Sox, who have dominated Baltimore this season, where the Yankees are somehow just around 500 against the Orioles this season and right around 500 against Tampa Bay. So that's
right. That's
really the difference in the division, one of the differences. Red Sox are beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
Right.
Which is important in winning the division. I mean, you know, you don't want that one-game playoff against, say, Seattle and where they might be able to line it up and pitch James Paxton, you know, so
exactly.
Where the Red Sox are grinded out with the Yankees and, you know, Chris Sale starting on the final day of the season to try to win the division. So you want to win the division.
Exactly. And they're doing it. They're doing everything they need to do. And I just want to say, Red Sox Nation, take a deep breath. They're playing great. These guys, they play well together, and somebody always steps up, and that's what's exciting.
All right. Thanks for the call, John, out there in California. Appreciate it. It's John Ryder with you. Red Sox Review. One more segment to go. Couple open phone lines, 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your phone calls. Also here, you know what? We'll hear from Craig Kimbrel, what he had to say after blowing the save tonight. But the Red Sox end up taking it 4-3 over the Twins in 10 innings of the Mookie Betts walk-off home run. We'll continue with Red Sox Review here on WEI after this.
You've seen a double play like the one Steven
faced out
in the third inning?
No, but good reaction. Some first baseman, they catch a ball and they go to the plate. But he knew he had time. Bogey, good transfer, good throw to first, and he hit the he hit the target, I guess.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
John Ryder back with you. Red Sox Review, one segment left. It's going to be a quick one. We won't be able to get to Craig Kimbrell. We're kind of running tight here, but we can fit in a phone call. Here's Sean in Idaho. Hey, Sean.
Hello, and good evening. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Loud and clear.
Okay. All right, perfect. Yeah, I called in because, again, look, I like what the last caller said, that this team is doing a great job at grinding it out and figuring out ways to win. But, yeah, I mean, I have every right to call and vent frustration with Kimbrell. I mean, it seems like he wasn't in it or something. Something was distracting him, or maybe it was too much pressure. I'm like, I got to tell you, okay, if it comes down to the playoffs and it's like a game five or a game seven and he blows a save like that, I mean, that'll haunt us. That'll hurt. I mean,
no question. Kimbrell, yeah. I wouldn't think Kimbrell the pressure. Yeah, I wouldn't think the pressure would get to him in a July game against the Twins at Fenway. I wouldn't. He just didn't see his curveball wasn't there to set up the fastball tonight. And you know, he's had an incredible season, so it's hard to kind of get on his case. But he has had a few of these where it's kind of been like, all right, well, he doesn't completely have it tonight, you know.
Well, yeah, like Texas a couple weeks ago. And let's remember game four of the 2017 American League Divisional Series. We all remember that.
Yeah, I know. Sean, I'll be with you tomorrow night if you want to call back. We've got 10 seconds left of the show. Thanks to Jeff Anderson for producing tonight. We've got to hit a hard out here. John Ryder, Red Sox Review, will be back with you tomorrow night for the series with the Twins and Red Sox at Fenway Park. Enjoy the rest of your night. Thanks to Jeff Anderson for producing.
Miles pitch to Betts. Swung on, we're going home! 4-3, Mookie Betts with a walk-off winner! How do you like that? Another Mookie moment at Fenway Park.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.